Grab yourself that cooling yogurt because we're about to take some hot takes on our top five touring car drivers to never win a race.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back once again with a top five this time round, keeping you entertained in the off season.
Well, nobody bothers to do any news.
Yes, exactly. We thought we'd take you through the drivers never to have won an outright race win.
Yes.
Yeah, so there have been plenty of drivers that have taken wins within a race because that's their independent or Jack Sears or... Yeah, there are lots of different classes that have been over the years, but this is outright on the road race wins.
Yes.
And there are some...
It sounded a lot snappier when we were talking about it before,
There are some fairly hefty drivers that haven't, but we did have to do a decent amount of research for this, didn't we?
We have. So we are going to do it in reverse order, 5-1. We will each take it in turns to give a driver. We may have the same driver in the same list, but in different places.
Yep.
These seem to work pretty well on Instagram when I'm doom scrolling at night, so we'll see how it goes here.
Yeah, I did my research on this one, which might shock you.
It might
shock you lot as well.
I should imagine so.
But I came up with 9 drivers in the end that I then had to whittle down. And I'd like to put a few honourable mentions in.
Yes, that's absolutely fine. Do you want to do it? I suggest you do honourable mentions after 2 before number 1, because that's how WatchMojo do it. And WatchMojo are very big and have...
I will let you start then.
You'll let me start.
I'm still trying to decide my fifth.
Okay, so in fifth place, this was fairly easy for me. He's had the fewest starts out of all my drivers as well, so it was a fairly obvious one for me. Gavin Smith. Now, viewers may know the name as he is the brother of Aaron Taylor Smith.
Yeah,
Older brother. He raced in the sort of 2000s era of the touring cars. He debuted in 2004. Mm-hmm. He raced 69 times. And he raced in an era where Vauxhall would and did win races regularly. Of course, he was on the scene when they were running the Vauxhall Astra, so he had the car that was capable of getting a race victory. There's no question about that. Tom Chilton.
He had some big name teammates as well, didn't
he? Yeah, Tom Chilton was there. Fabrizio Giovinazzi.
I believe that was the era that Turkington also ran in the Astra as well.
Yes, quite probably. It was certainly in around that time. And okay, through sort of 2004, 5 and 6, it was mainly a case of Plato and Neil who were taking race wins. But, you know, there were other ones in there, Sheddon, Thompson, etc.
Yep.
And Gavin Smith took a few podiums, but never got that top spot on the podium. And for me, that's why he's number 5. Had the equipment, had the ability, didn't quite get that win.
Yeah, he is in my list as well, but not at number 5.
Well... Please enlighten me.
My number 5 is going to be Ricky Collard. So a driver that's more recent to the series, obviously son of Rob Collard, who has taken several victories in his time in the sport. Ricky did have one taken away for him, something unjustly, but that's for you to discuss down in the comments. He's had 71 race starts in his touring car career, having taken 2 podiums in that time across 3 seasons. He's at my number 5 because he had the Toyota, which at the time was able to take race wins. He just, I don't know whether he was unlucky or just didn't have that extra little bit that he needed to be almost clinical enough.
Interesting. He is in my list too.
Is he?
But he's not at number 4.
Ooh.
Because at number 4 for me, it's Bobby Thompson. Now, there's a reason. Let me get to the reason why he's so low on the list.
Wow.
There's a reason why he's low on the list, okay? Because 2 factors, which we'll get to. Debuted in 2018 and has had 130 race starts. Now, the reason he is low down in this is because there is no doubt, this is potentially the biggest gap between drivability and car ability I've ever seen in terms of that. Name me a car other than the one round at Donington, at Snetterton, where he was in the BMW, where he's had the machinery that we've seen be capable of taking a race win.
He had the Cupra, it took a win or two, didn't it?
Did it?
I believe.
No, he took a podium or two in it. He didn't. Who took a win in it?
I think Lloyd did.
No, he dropped it. The drop link broke at the last corner at Donington.
I think it was a car that was just about capable of taking a race 3 victory.
Might be, but he was running in a team that...
I do agree. He, throughout his career, he has had cars which are very much lacking and not at the forefront of the season.
Yeah. Let's not forget, he lost to Jack Sears in 2018 when the car rolled to Croft and he was then ruled out of a couple of races with injury. And I say that Audi wasn't really, I know Jake Hilter could win in that Audi, but let's be honest, that was a race three reverse grid. And for those kind of cars, you need a hell of a lot of luck to go your way as well. So take nothing away from Jake Hill's winning that car, but you also need a big slice of luck to go your way. And you are basically holding upon a number coming out of a hat, which, is by its own definition, a lottery. And I'd say if you look at Thompson's career as a whole, I think that he's never had the car that matches his ability. And I also don't think the door is completely closed on his career. I think he might be back in the touring car at some point.
Agreed.
And therefore, the win is not definitely never going to happen. And that's why he's low on my list. Because I think, as I say, in terms of my list, this is the biggest gap between what I believe to be driver ability and the car they've had.
So I think in my list, I've gone on driver ability and like should have taken a win kind of thing.
Yeah, but my argument back on that is that name your time Thompson should have taken a win.
He's more than good enough to take a win, which is how I've ranked my list. But.
Yeah, but if you put Max Verstappen's a very good racing driver, you put him in a Haas, does he take a win?
No, but
well, is that now Max a bad driver?
Well, we never know, actually.
Well, no, okay, Max for the few that maybe could, but you know what I mean. Okay, Lewis Hamilton has been a great example of this. Excellent driver in a crap car the last year. Let's be honest, Ferrari's been a disaster. Is Hamilton a bad driver? No. If the machinery is not there, then how can you compete?
Okay. Fourth in my list is your fifth. So Gavin Smith, as we've already mentioned, 69 races. He took four podiums in that time. He had only two real full seasons in the Astra hatch, but it was in an area where we've already said that Astra was competitive. It was able to take victories. He was never a name that you saw on the grid and thought, oh yeah, he could take a win today.
Yeah, solid.
He was solid, but not really hitting that height. Yeah, a couple of podiums along the way.
What I would say is that much smaller grids back then as well, though.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
But does that give you more chance and opportunity to take a win?
It does when play it with Neil and lumping seven shades out of each other, yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, fair enough then. Moving to third, and it's for me, Ricky Collard.
Okay.
So as we discussed, 71 race starts, debuted in 2018, has had chances in both the BMW and the Toyota. Clearly a natural racer with the ability to do well in multiple series. We've seen that in the GT series, which is one of his father. But in touring cars, he never made it to that top step of the podium, despite, as you mentioned, having that race win taken away from him in the stewards' room. Yeah, like you, I just think that he is one of the, arguably the biggest name on this list that's had the machinery to do it and hasn't necessarily taken that machinery to where it can go.
Yep.
I don't think we'll see him back in the touring cars. I think he's moved on from that era of his life. So the Collard family line of winning will stop, I'd assume, with his dad. Yep. Again, Ricky is clearly a good racer, and there's no doubt about
that. He's taken wins in many other aspects of the sport, in single-seaters and in GTs.
He came in and got a podium in his first half season when he came in to sub in for Collard, senior. So look, there's no doubt he's a great driver. A load of combinations to why he didn't necessarily get that race win, but I think it's a big surprise he's not got a race win to his name.
Yeah, agreed. Number three on my list is a certain Jeff Smith, a driver that has had 156 races in the touring cars, has taken only two podiums in that time across seven seasons. I didn't realise he'd been in the sport for seven seasons, whether it's taking a full season or part drives throughout seasons. Obviously, his touring car career was curtailed with that qualifying crash at Croft, which was massive, which we've spoken about several times before.
Obviously, it's on YouTube if you're not seeing
it. He suffered quite extensive injuries, but he's a very well-experienced driver. And at the time, you would argue that he had a car that was certainly capable of taking victories, especially in that Eurotech Honda Civic FK2.
And the Pertec Honda.
We've seen many victories taken by that car across the years it's been in the touring cars. So I think he's been unlucky. He was just lacking that little bit more. And I do wonder if he was younger, whether he'd had more hunger and been able to recover from the injuries that he sustained to be able to actually go on and do more in touring cars.
Interesting.
Is he your number two?
He's not.
Oh.
He's not. Which gives my number one a little bit. But, so for number two, I've gone for James Kay. Now, the reason he's not my number one, because he outranks everyone in terms of longevity in the series. So, debuted in 1986 and has had 296 starts and has basically raced on and off between 86 and 2013. So a long span of the touring cars, albeit not a continued one. He's clearly a good racer. You don't have that long a career in the touring cars and nearly 300 starts if you're not. It's as simple as that, unless you're incredibly rich. But look, that's not the case. He's clearly a very good racer. Yep. And the law of averages would have suggested that he would have that win. Particularly when you look at some of the names that have taken a win, who I don't think are as talented as James Kay.
He's number two in my list, so I'm going to talk about him now as well. He's taken many sort of like class wins across his time, but never that overall win. And he's actually only had, from what I can see, one overall podium as well, which is mad to think. With a driver that has that much pedigree and history within the sport, how he's not done better. I don't know whether it's a case of he'd been unlucky, not had the right car at the right time, or whether he was just in an era where we had a highly competitive field, especially through the 90s, and he just didn't have that extra little bit or the right brakes at the right time.
I think it's genuinely is a combination of all those factors, because certainly when I was starting to watch touring cars in the mid-2000s, he was a mainstay name that was there a lot. I don't remember him being in a wall. I mean, I remember from that era John George being in the wall a lot. I don't remember James Kay in the same style. So, yeah, I think perhaps he is just your classic steady middle of the road, if you pardon the pun, driver.
But a driver that would score points.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
talking about someone
not back marker.
Halstead or Hamilton. Currently, we're talking about a driver that's well in there for points.
Just not. He's almost. I know Josh Cook actually takes wins, but he was sort of that era's. Well, no, maybe that's a bit too harsh. Maybe like a Moffat of today that, you know.
Nearly.
Yeah.
Nearly man.
Yeah.
Just sort of existing and being there and occasional sparks of brightness, but never taking that top step on a podium, which I think he'll be gutted by.
Yeah, I'm sure he's glad we've called him out on this list for that very reason. Right, so my number one then. Oh, I don't have a good honourable mentions. I do apologise. We'll keep the Watch Mojo style. Honourable mentions.
Of the honourable mentions, some of you may or may not remember these drivers.
It's like a round of pointless.
Yeah, it is. So, Alex McDowell.
I think that probably tells you all you need to know about my thoughts on that. Yeah.
60 races, 5 podiums over 2 seasons.
But 5 podiums?
Exactly.
I take back the shrug.
In the Chevrolet Cruze when Plato was in it as well.
Mate, wasn't he? Yeah.
Which I was quite surprised by.
Good car, though.
Yes, very. You've got drivers who have been in the sport for a long time, like Dan Welch, had 143 races in that Proton.
He might as well walked,
It was an awful car, but he was there for 7 seasons as well.
Jeez. Yeah, but in Welch's defence, never in my
life. I know.
Did it the Lexus for a while as well?
No, it was always
the Proton. Well, yeah. There you go. Answers that.
There's Carl Breeze, who has been a very successful driver in GTs.
Yes, he has.
And other aspects, but never quite managed. Didn't even take a podium in touring cars.
How long was his career, though, in the...
55 races and 3 seasons.
It's not a lot, is it?
But of a driver of his...
Yeah, standard, no, that's fair. That's
at
fair.
One point, he was in the Halfords 307.
Yeah, but that wasn't a particularly good car either.
No, Dan Eaves took 3 wins in it.
Yeah, okay, maybe this shadow, the massive shadow of the long Integra sort of taints my view on that slightly. But yeah, okay, fair point.
And the other driver I had a quick look at, although only there for one season, was Johnny Adam. Came in from GTs, had a good pedigree behind him, took a couple of podiums in that season.
Yeah, but one season's not enough.
Exactly, which is why he didn't make it into my list.
No, I completely understand. And then some of the drivers that have got wins blew me away. And
I know.
Maybe that's a video for another day.
Drivers that have taken one win in the touring cars.
Who you've completely forgotten about.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe
that's the next top 5 video. Right, so my number one then, you have mentioned him, and it is Jeff Smith. Now, the reason basically is cut and paste what you've said there. An incredibly good driver. We've seen him in recent times in the Mini Miglias, or Mini Sevens. No, it's the small minis. What are they called? It's Mini Sevens. Yeah. Anyway, still competing in that, still going very well in that, causing a lot of joy when I saw that at Silverstone a couple of years ago, the TCR. And as you said, he always had decent machinery. Let's not forget, he had the Pertec Civic at times. He had the Eurotech Civic, which him and Goff, I think, were teammates in. And Goff took wins in that car. And that car has taken wins continually as late as the Butcher era. Yep. A couple of years ago now, but
it's a good few years ago now, mate.
Yeah, and he had good teams, good cars, and a good load of podiums. He took a pole during his career as well. And to be honest with you, he was more off in the front runner than he wasn't. He just never got that top set. And I don't know why, because he's clearly a talented racer. There's no doubt about that. You see, the Minis are good because, in a sense, there's not a lot to them, but equally, you then see when
it's very equal machinery, and you sort the wheat from the chaff.
I was about to say, whilst it might be easy to get in and drive because it's not all the aids and stuff, when you see people like him and Andrew Jordan on that grid, you see the difference between a clubman racer and a top level racer. And I think with Jeff Smith and Andy Jordan and Mike Jordan actually in that era and that class, you completely see, as you said there, the wheat from the chaff. There is a different level to that game. And that's why Smith's my number one. I genuinely remember him at the time, and I quite liked the Eurotech team I had. Mm-hmm. I've actually got one of their shirts somewhere. Yes, I've got blue and yellow, not blue and yellow, black and yellow Wicks era one. Yeah, good car. And as you say, unfortunately, his career was curtailed with that incident at Croft. I understand why he never came back. I think it's a shame he never came back, because I do think, as I say, quick driver, more than capable of mixing it with the best on the grid. And I think that will be one of the greatest mysteries of touring cars as to how he never got onto that top step at the podium when he's been so successful everywhere else and had a successful touring car career.
Yeah, definitely. So my number one, as you have already mentioned, is going to be Bobby Thompson.
That is a wild take. Let me go get some tzatziki. That is crazy.
So my reason for putting him at number one is I think the quality of driver that he is, as again, we've already touched on, if he had the right car at the right time, he probably should have taken a win in that BMW when he had that chance. He was so quick that weekend, and it showed all the teams up and down the grid how good and consistent of a driver that he is. And it blows my mind that a driver of his quality has never been given the chance at a top team to even go, okay, we're going to pay for half your season. Show us what you can do. Go and take some victories. Take podiums along the way. Because I think if he got given the chance, he would be maybe in that first season, sort of like Cook's level, right in there, fifth, sixth in the championship, and then he could possibly kick on to better things.
I think if you put him in the seat of restart that Lloyd has now vacated, he wins the independent championship
and takes a
race win. It's simple as that. I cannot rate or put into words enough how much I rate Bobby Thompson as a driver.
That is the reason for me why he's number one in this, for him being the best driver to have never taken a win. On pure talent alone, he is the quickest.
On pure talent alone, I agree, he'd be top of that list. My only reason that he's nowhere near that top spot for me is because, unlike a Jeff Smith, a Ricky Collard, he's never had, in my opinion, apart from one round at Snetterton where the rain affected the weekend massively. And of course, he hadn't had any testing in the car either, so it's harsh to really say.
It makes that weekend even more astonishing.
Absolutely,
with what he did with no testing in the
car. Absolutely, absolutely. But because of that, I think you've basically got to scrub that from the record and say, what is the LCC raced in? A Cooper with a team that no longer exists. I think that we'll just leave that on there.
Yep.
And an Audi, which by the time he got into it was incredibly old and had been overtaken by pretty much everything on the grid.
And he had been in the Volkswagen CC as well, which again was right at the end of its career.
Like him, I've completely sort of put that from my mind, I should imagine. You're right, I forgot about that era in that car, which again had been a brilliant car 10 years earlier.
Yeah, but, exactly. But it's the wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
And not getting the backing he probably deserves. And I don't know whether that's down to him and his personality or his drive to go out there and go and get sponsorship like we see Dan Lloyd do. But I think, look at the victories that Dan Lloyd's had in that Hyundai. That should be Bobby Thompson at the very least, I think.
I'd love to see Plato give him a go.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Plato give him a go.
Yeah.
But
let us know your thoughts down in the comments as to who your top five drivers are that have never taken an outright win in the British Touring Cars. And
you might be surprised when you're doing your research to who has.
You'll find out that some drivers have popped up with that one win, whether it be a race three, reverse grid, or crazy weather. But yeah, it's an interesting read. Go and research it yourself if you're interested in it. And argue down in the comments kindly as to who is number one.
Absolutely. And our usual plea, video by video, like, subscribe, share, comment, all that jazz. Follow us on the socials. We're not backed by anybody apart from ourselves and you listeners, so keep us going. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
We'll see you again soon.